Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The service department at Sunbury Motors open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Parts, service, all open for you. That's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. This will be another busy show today. Because Matt just won't back off. Just won't back off. Never seen anything like it. Just won't back off. It's like every time I turn around. We're going to have Mike Singer on for the Denver Post. I think Mike's on in the next half hour. And we're going to talk with him. We'll do a fair amount of basketball today because we're going to do a fair amount of football tomorrow. But we've got that. And Patrick Chambers on the show today. And the draft starts a week from today. So why not Anthony Tresh from Pro Football Focus? How about that? Sounds like a fun show, right?
All for it.
Well, after yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday's going to be tough to beat.
You're out there taking notes left and right.
And I'm still catching up.
And then, I mean, then you emailed Howie Roseman? Come on, you can't do that.
He actually had a virtual presser today with Andy Weidel, the president of the player personnel for the Eagles, but I unfortunately did not get any questions answered.
nor will you. I think I'll keep a couple of things a little closer to the vest. But I have to tell you this quick story here. Let's start with the news of the day. We do keep track of what is going on around us. So we'll trade numbers here. Center County is up 1 to 73 today. So in the last 5 days, Center County has had an increase of 0, 0, 0, 2, and 1. So that's the last 5 days. And you have?
Northumberland has 60 now, so that was plus 4 from yesterday. Montour is now 48, that was plus 4. Union was plus 2. So 10 total for the area today. Snyder remained at 24.
Okay. All right. I know that. Now, not everybody, obviously, has been tested. So let's preface it by saying that. Not everybody has been tested. But we talk about 73 in Center County. There are 162,000 people in Center County. I used the last census, by the way, for that. I did that all by myself. So that's the latest news there. Now, I want to get to something that Penn State put out. And this is the release that they put out yesterday. And it dealt with Maymester, Summer 1, Summer 2. And when they were talking about right now the plan is Maymester, summer one, summer two. The current plan is to do remote learning. That's the current plan. Okay. But they also point out in the release, you really have to read the release, because I think there's some people looking at, oh no, what does this mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means that for the moment, they're going to continue remote learning and online courses into the summer. That's what it means. So given the continuing challenge and uncertainty, keyword, of the coronavirus pandemic, and to protect the health of students, faculty, and staff, Penn State has made the decision to extend virtual delivery of courses into the summer. All right? And they then go into this part, and this is in bold, possible late summer transition to campus learning. It says, at this point, the university is planning to deliver all courses and programming virtually for the Maymester, summer one, summer two. And they discuss how they do that. Right? The university is preparing in case health dynamics shift and students could return to campus for in-person instruction. Okay. In addition, while the plan calls for online instruction for summer two, the university is preparing in case health dynamics shift and students could return safely to campuses for in-person instruction. So it's right there. Now let's get to the very last paragraph. This is the last sentence of the release. It's a well-thought-out release covering a wide spectrum here. Because remember, it's April 16th right now. We don't know what things are going to look like on April 30th. Or May 16th. This has been a changing situation, especially over the last week or so. You know, some days look good, some days like, oh, you feel like there's a setback. I mean, it's always a wide range of emotions with this. That's why I'm somebody that has always taken it one step at a time, and I know that we're in this step right now. But here's the final sentence of the release. Further, the university is planning and operating with the goal of having on-campus courses in the fall semester if circumstances allow. But no decision has been made at this time. Again, that last sentence. Further, the university is planning and operating with the goal, so that's the goal, of having on-campus courses in the fall semester if circumstances allow. But no decision has been made at this time. So I think it's just important that when you look at these things, especially when it's April the 16th, that you read the entire. There's no need to jump to any conclusions at this hour. There's no need to jump to any conclusions at this hour about summer two. Right now, the plan is to do summer two, starting at the end of June, remotely. But even that is looked at in a way as the potential of subject to change. They may have to stick with it remotely, but the circumstances may dictate that they can make the adjustment and go back to the traditional way, with obviously rules in place. But I think you got to read all of it. You can't just make assumptions of, oh, this looks awful. It's April 16th. If we're talking the same way on May 16th, we're talking the same way on June 16th, okay, then, you know, certain decisions have to be made. But as of right now, just remember it's April 16th. And that's why, look, we're in this phase and we're in this step right now, one step at a time. The most important part is as many of you as possible are safe. Okay? That's That's really important. And, you know, we just care about each other. Now, I would like to see people be a little more friendly out there. I don't know what you've run into, Matt. If I see somebody that I know is a friend in the whole thing, they're so happy to see you. It's unbelievable. It's the people you don't know. They look at you like so suspiciously. It's like, okay, just all right.
All sides of this, no question. Everyone's got to chill out a little bit.
Well, that's what I heard. Oh, this is bringing, you know, this brings out the, you know, brings out the best of people. No, it hasn't. No offense.
Well, in some cases, yes, but also in some cases, it's brought the worst out, too.
Oh, my neighbors have been awesome. My coworkers have been awesome. My friends are beyond words. My family's been great. It's like the people you don't know. I'm telling you right now, he's the one. it's like, come on.
Just tagging and everybody, you know, to continue to do the right thing, follow the guidelines, and we'll
and
get
you know
there.
You know who you are. If you don't like it, don't bother calling. All right. So yesterday, you'll love this. Captain Technology here. Now, I actually hang in better with technology than I let on. I mean, we can't do the show on Saturday for the Penn State Sports Network if they didn't have some handle on technology, okay? And Sandy Barber's going to be on the show, and James Franklin's going to be on the show Saturday. Starting at 12:35. That sound correct to you? It's so... Special Olympics. The Paterno family Beaver Stadium run finished at the 50 is always the day after the blue-white game. So this year it's going to be Sunday, April 19th. Now, like everything else, no can do. So they want to do it virtually because, look, raising money for Special Olympics, Special Olympics isn't the Kennedy Center, okay? It's not going to be this big stream of federal money for Special Olympics. So they have to come up with their own way of raising money. So this is what they're going to do it virtually. So they get a hold of me now, and they said, hey, can you tape something on your iPad and to open it up like you always do, and then there's a couple of other sections to go do it. Okay? And so I go out to Beaver Stadium yesterday, and I put the iPad on the hood of my car, and I put it on what I thought was video, and I realized for the first three, I put it on photo. It's like, oh, jeez, you dope. So then I take it, I transition to video, and I record the video, and I do it, and I get it done. 2 minutes and 58 seconds. I'm like, okay, that's not bad. It's supposed to be 3 minutes. It's all right, good. All right, and they gave me a script, so I'm reading the script. But I have to do it on camera. It's supposed to be virtual. Then there's a part two, which is just a small paragraph, and a part three, which is a small paragraph. And I think, oh, I've got it now. I have it all set. So I hit the button. Then I go back here yesterday, and I'm going to now upload it to the box. Well, there's the 2 minute and 58 second piece. Perfect. Can't upload it any better. Okay. Then I look at the other ones. It records me getting into my car and leaving. It's like terrific. So I had to drive back out after the show yesterday and record the last two parts, and then I uploaded it to the box. Captain Technology strikes again. Dick, how are you? It's so good to hear you. I hope you are well, my friend.
Good, Steve. I wanted to make a point. I just listened to your little talk about Penn State's up, maybe doing this and maybe doing that. Well, up at this is interesting because they play in the Patriot. Like Boston University has a thing out where now they might not have school till January. I mean, that's just probably the same as Penn State, but this made all the papers in the news up in Boston area, and they do play, and other than football, they play in competitive, you know, volleyball and soccer and field hockey and everything that plays in the Patriot League with the Bucknells. I found that interesting. The other thing I wanted to tell you, I called you about Old Dominion and wrestling, and now Cincinnati has dropped soccer.
Yes, men's soccer. Yes.
Right. So I guess I remember I asked you if you thought this would continue, and it looks to me like it might continue. Obviously, other schools.
The finances for the current fiscal year are fine. Okay, it's the year after, but I know they're all worried about. And so now we're going to see how it plays out. This will be a subject that with Sandy Barber on Saturday, we will talk about. Just to let you know, and Sandy will be on pretty early. I think we started 12:35. I think Sandy's going to be on right around 12:40. Okay. And so we'll talk about this subject, not about dropping sports, because it's too early to broach that topic. But the finances part gets into it because of the spring sports. Okay. Wisconsin, for example, is not going to finance an extra year of spring athletes that are seniors this year. Penn State will, though. Okay. So we'll get into that at that point. But yeah,
well, I'm kind of anxious to see if there'll be many fall sports this year. We'll find out.
Yeah,
overall,
I think we need to take it a step at a time. Take for example, if you had to pick two cities right now where it's kind of popping up a little bit more, Boston and Chicago. Well, no, I mean New York is a given, but Boston and Chicago are the ones that Dr. Birx pointed out the other day. Everybody else is pretty in that low range, even Philadelphia now. So,
okay, thanks, Steve.
Step at a time, Dick. Step at a time. That's what we got to do here. You're also talking about a high population, high density city, and BU, which is on Commonwealth Avenue, is in a high density area, and they're also in a tough spot.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget the Sunbury Motors Service Department. Parts service open 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. And go online and check out the great product lines at Sunbury Motors. This gets cooking again. A lot of you are already in line to look for a car anyway, and it's Sunbury Motors, the one you want to deal with. All right. We've talked about what's an interesting story with local ties, and that is, you saw Arturas Karnišovas leave the Denver Nuggets to become the vice president of player personnel and basketball operations with the Chicago Bulls. You're thinking, well, okay, that's nice. What kind of local tie is that? Well, the assistant general manager of the Denver Nuggets is someone by the name of Calvin Booth. Yes, the all-time shot block leader in the history of Penn State basketball. And after a 10-year NBA career, he has worked his way through management. At one point with the Wizards, then he worked his way to the T-Wolves, and now the last 3 years with the Nuggets. Well, the door is now open to the possibility of him becoming an NBA general manager. With that, we bring in Mike Singer from the Denver Post. Mike, thanks so much. We hope you and yours are safe. It appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is something we've talked about for a while, and I'll go back myself 25 years with Calvin Booth. So let's talk about the situation with the Nuggets. He came over from the T-Wolves, and he gets this spot here. What kind of confidence have the Nuggets shown in Calvin over the years, and now with this big move by Karnišovas going to the Bulls?
Calvin is a guy who Nuggets president of basketball operations Tim Connelly pegged a long time ago, first when he was an NBA veteran, and then Connelly actually brought him to New Orleans to start as a scout, and they've always had a close relationship. And so I think after Calvin elevated within the Timberwolves organization, Tim very much wanted to eventually bring him to Denver both because of his sort of eye for talent assessment, his professionalism, and I think they're just their longstanding relationship. I mean, Calvin was a guy who's been around and really had a knack for scouting and has shown a love for scouting, and I think that spoke to Tim, specifically the work aspect and how much Calvin has dedicated his post-playing career to scouting and being involved in grassroots basketball.
So I want to talk about Arturas Karnišovas for a moment. He goes to the Bulls, and my understanding is that the Nuggets did a lot to help make this happen. What does that tell you, what does that tell us from the outside looking in about the organization?
Yeah, they are a very collaborative group. They are a group that supports each other, and that's not necessarily uniform around the NBA. I mean, there are some franchises who didn't let their guys even interview for the executive vice president of basketball operations for the Chicago Bulls. But the Nuggets sort of viewed this as an opportunity, and they viewed it as a reflection on their organization. Hey, one of the premier jobs in the entire league, and our guy is being considered, a guy who we've been with for the last 7 years and has grown up and been a part of our sort of ascendancy and rise in the Western Conference. So instead of being sort of jaded or jilted that this was a talented guy and Arturas Karnišovas who was going to leave, they were obviously hurt that he was leaving just because of that's a significant loss, but they were thrilled that it was a reflection on their organization as a whole and where they have gone from non-contender to a team that's now currently number three in the West.
Also, what kind of some organizations are, no matter what, we're going outside. Some organizations are very good about spotting talent and moving from within. What kind of organization are the Nuggets?
So let's look at what the owner, Josh Kroenke, the talent that he has amassed, let's say in the last 7 years. You had Masai Ujiri, who eventually went to Toronto and won a championship there. You had Tim Connolly. You have who finished second in Executive of the Year last year. You have Arturas Karnišovas, who just got hired to run the Chicago Bulls organization, an iconic franchise. It's a pretty unbelievable pedigree to be coming up in their organization, which in their front office, which is pretty small in terms of how it compares to the rest of NBA front offices. But you know, that's how the Nuggets like it. They keep their opinions close. They love to bat back and forth various opinions of players, decisions, and they really work in a collaborative manner, which is why, you know, there is so much confidence that Calvin ultimately can ascend and grow within his role. I mean, he's been there for 3 years, started as the assistant GM. As I've reported, it's very likely that he will ultimately become their next GM. And I don't think anyone within the organization would even bat an eyelash at his rise.
Which brings me to the president of basketball operations, Tim Connolly. You mentioned about the relationship. I think it goes back to, I think, Calvin's second stint with the Wizards, I think, at some point where the two really started to connect. What is it about him and his loyalty and the connection he has with Calvin Booth?
Yeah, I mean, Tim is a loyal guy. He values, like I said, that corroboration and the collaboration. He has seen Calvin's eagerness from the get-go when he was done playing and the eagerness to really understand scouting and the curiosity and his approach and the professionalism, the level of detail, all of those things. Tim has told me that he's recognized in Calvin and he has a fondness for as a result. So I would be surprised, really, if the Nuggets went outside the organization. They've been generally an organization that just likes to promote from within. The word's not grooming because he hasn't been necessarily grooming any of these guys, but Calvin has referred to Tim Connolly as a mentor of his. And that's one of the reasons that I don't think he was ever a viable candidate for taking the general manager job in Chicago. I mean, I know him and Arturas are close, but I think it's far more likely that Arturas, you know, stays sort of away from the Nuggets front office knowing that they are developing and growing Calvin to a bigger role.
Plus, Arturas and Calvin are pretty similar in terms of demeanor, and I mean, I would know this as well. I've been around Calvin more than you have, actually, probably, in the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Calvin's not I mean, he's outgoing, but he's still outgoing but reserved. And that's two similar personalities in Chicago. Would that be fair?
It's exactly it. And, you know, it's been reported that Arturas was looking for sort of a complementary personality. He said, I don't want any clones. And that's really one of the reasons why him and Tim worked so well together. Tim is front-facing and gregarious and outgoing and, you know, speaks to the media pretty regularly. And that wasn't Arturas' role. And I'm not saying that he can't do that, but that just wasn't on his shoulders. And that's not necessarily Calvin's role either, especially as the assistant GM. I believe that he is very well capable of doing that. It just is not a role that we have seen him in. And so he sort of fills that void from Arturas, sort of a quiet, reserved, respected voice. And so that sort of complements Tim, which is, again, I really think a very important piece of their structure is just sort of those different personalities.
Mike, obviously at this second there's no need to rush anything. Has Tim Connelly even hinted at all at any kind of timetable he has in mind to do this, or is it very open-ended?
So, as you alluded to, I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen, I wouldn't even call it a delay. I mean, this is still pretty fresh for the Nuggets in terms of having to fill the void from Arturas. But to your point, there's not a lot of NBA transactions and a lot of NBA moves going on right now as a result of the hiatus. So my guess would be that they feel no urgency. I mean, let's also think about it from the Kroenke's perspective. Are you going to pay a guy and elevate him when there's not really a huge necessity at this point, you know, given that we don't know when or if the season's coming back? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that it, from that perspective, I think it'd be mutually beneficial. I think you're telling Calvin Hayes, you know, this seems like a likelihood, like, you know, keep in mind, like, if you're patient, there's potentially a role here for you. And from their perspective, they can say, well, okay, you know, we'll get this done in due time, but you're going to need to be patient because now is not the time to be making huge hires or announcements or promoting anybody just because there's not a ton of pressing basketball issues.
No, and eventually they want to get back. Now, Mark Cuban probably has been interviewed more than anybody. I think he's been interviewed more than Adam Silver has about this to this point. And part of that is, you know, the business side of it, because a lot of business people want to talk to Mark Cuban. But what do you get any sense at all from anybody within the Nuggets organization where there's a lean as to potentially starting without fans? What have you heard, if anything?
Yeah, so, you know, the Nuggets are kind of in the same ballpark as everybody in terms of wait-and-see mode. I know that there was a report today from The Athletic. Actually, my former colleague, Sam Amick at USA Today, he reported that there is optimism within league circles that there could be some sort of return. I don't think that they're hindered by the schedule. I think they could play as late as September. And even if that means a shorter first or second round series, if that means a truncated regular season, I think that those are all potentials. It seems like there really is a movement to do their best to try to have some iteration of the postseason. Selfishly, I'm in a bit of a bind because I'm getting married in late August.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I'm thrilled for you.
Yes. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what the playbook is here. Unfortunately, my fiance has been very flexible and understanding, and she goes, well, you're going to take off a week. I can't tell you if the Nuggets are in the Western Conference Finals or not, but you're still going to take off a week. And I just nodded my head and said, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I've never met her, seen her, but I sense she's worth it. So it's okay.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, when the Nuggets were – when this did shut down, the Nuggets, like they have been of late, they have been quietly really, really good. I think I want to say they were 21 over, like 43 and 22, which is the third best record in the West. What makes them, once they get back going again, a dangerous team, even though they're not going to get the publicity of the two teams in Los Angeles?
Yeah, so, you know, they were, to your point, they were having a really good season overall, but coming out of the All-Star break, they, A, were injured, and B, weren't playing very well. and I think they were only 5-5 coming off the All-Star break. So in the immediate aftermath, Nuggets coach Michael Malone was talking about how we could sort of use a reset. Obviously, this is not what he intended. But the fact that they can all sort of recharge or take a step back, and I know that the Nuggets internally are still telling themselves, hey, we're the 3 seed. Like, who knows how this is going to break? If we catch fire, if we stay in shape, if we are ready to go when the season resumes, who's to say we can't win a 3- or 5-game series? Like, crazier things have happened. So, you know, going off of obviously their centerpiece, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, they have valuable pieces who are still young and could make a run. I mean, again, what is the precedent here, and who's to say that they couldn't take advantage of LeBron James, who's been off for a month and a half or 2 months? I mean, this might be an opportunity for a young team to catch maybe a more talented team when they're not ready.
Can I ask you about Jokic for a second? Because I find he has a beautiful game to watch, but he also is not the body type that you look at and say, oh, yeah, he can do all those things, and if you didn't see him, you wouldn't envision the body type he has. Are the Nuggets concerned that during this hiatus about, A, his body type, and then, B, why is he as good as he is?
Yeah, that's a funny question. I mean, I know that they're definitely checking in on all their players, and they provided them with exercise equipment, checking on their nutrition. And I guess that is just an implicit question with Jokic that you always have, just because he doesn't look like a LeBron or a Giannis Antetokounmpo. But to the Nuggets' credit, you know, Arturis is one of the reasons they ended up landing him in 2014 from Serbia. Like, without Arturis Karnatsovas' connection, they're not going to draft Nikola Jokic at number 41. And that sort of speaks to the idea that they don't look at a guy's background in terms of, or they don't consider a European guy as having a mark against him because he didn't come up in a traditional NCAA set. That's a credit to the Nuggets. I mean, they very much have a European flavor in their front office. I know Calvin has scouted overseas, so they have an approach that basketball talent can be found anywhere throughout the world, and that's sort of how they settled on Nikola Jokic. And one of my favorite things about him is he told me for a story earlier this year that he loves it when people come in with a predisposition about him and they think they have a mindset about him because he doesn't look the same. And that's when he really starts clowning on people, is when they assume that they can take him.
Because he's something else. He really is. Every time I watch again, he is something else to watch. He does really incredible things. We know the Broncos are number one, obviously, in Denver. I don't think it takes a genius to figure that out. But with the Rockies, the Avs, and the Nuggets, where do you think the Nuggets now fall, especially with the recent success they've had?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that they're definitely above the Rockies, and I think it's sort of them or the Avalanche. But what's really messed up some of the fan base in Denver is that, I don't know how much you guys are paying attention to it, but there's been an ongoing TV dispute that's actually left the Nuggets and the Avalanche off of TV for the majority of people in Denver. So this entire season.
Yeah, this is the Dodgers situation playing out in Denver. The Dodgers
exactly.
went through this. Yep.
I think they're still going through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is supposed to be a year where they can capitalize on goodwill from a second-round postseason run last year, and they can really galvanize the fan base and try to get everybody on board. And the TV contract has sort of upended that, and it's with Comcast, the largest provider. And so no one really knows when or if, you know, that situation will get settled, because I think about 70, at least 70, if not 80% of people can't watch the Nuggets when this was a year that they were supposed to be capitalizing on that goodwill.
Wow. Well, Mike, this is great. I really appreciate it. It sounds like Calvin Booth has put himself into a very, very interesting spot, which is what we wanted to follow up on. We thank you for your time. We look forward, if you don't mind, having you back. And congratulations on your marriage and the obvious week off you're going to get in August.
I appreciate it. That week's not going anywhere. That's non-negotiable.
It's, believe me, that'll be the first of many non-negotiables.
Noted. Noted.
Noted. Mike, thanks. We look forward to having you back, especially if certain things happen the way we think it might.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Mike Singer from the Denver Post. Matt, did you note the end?
Yes, that has been noted for the last 2.5 years now.
They're non-negotiables. Okay. They really are. One quick note in the football world. USC quarterback JT Daniels, who got hurt and then had to sit out a good chunk of last year, has now put his name into the transfer portal. Interesting. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, great to have you with us, Patrick Chambers, in the next half hour. Coming up on Saturday, Sandy Barber and head football coach James Franklin on the Penn State Coaches Show, which gets underway at 12:35 on. My apologies. We'll start at 1:35 on Saturday and go to 2:30. And what they do is they'll send us something. And Jefferson City, which is where the office is, it's on Central Time. So you got to remember sometime. Okay, hold on. Got to add an hour to that. So it'll be 1:35 on Saturday and go till 2:30. All right. And they will be the two guests on the show. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department, service parts open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. They do fabulous work. Fabulous work. I'm glad you noted, by the way, the end, Matt, where there are certain things in the household that are, quote, non-negotiable.
Yes.
It is our goal to bring to you at some point during the course of this job a sense of inner peace and not just from the office.